A Castle of Dreams, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1904. Lady Viola Northcombe stared at her reflection in the old misted cheval mirror that stood in the corner of her bedroom and sighed. She was supremely unaware of the beauty of her face, surrounded as it was by tumbling blonde curls, her eyes the most startling violet blue, fringed with dark lashes that swept down onto pink cheeks. No, all Lady Viola could see at the moment was the old-fashioned ivory lace ball gown she was wearing. At 19, Viola was not a fashion-conscious girl. She was more than happy wearing riding clothes or a plain cotton dress to sit in the garden. But tonight was a special occasion, and she wished she looked just a little more, well, special. "Nanny, is there anything we can do to make this look a little more fashionable, a little more up-to-date?" she asked, as a round-faced elderly woman dressed all in black with a small lace collar came into her bedroom. Nanny Barstow carefully placed the large armful of freshly ironed clothes she was carrying onto the top of the chest of drawers. She now took a deep breath and smoothed down the linen apron she was wearing. The endless flights of stairs up from the basement of the tall London house were very steep, and she was not getting any younger. "Now then, my lady, I've got quite enough to do to get you and your brother packed for your trip to America without fussing about with a perfectly good ball gown." Nanny Barstow's rather ferocious expression hid a kind and gentle heart. She had been a lady's maid to Viola's mother, and nanny to both Viola and her twin brother David, since they were born, and would cheerfully have laid down her life for both of them, without a murmur. It upset Nanny that her Lady Viola had to wear an old ball gown that had once belonged to her elderly cousin, Miss Edith Matthews. Miss Matthews owned the house in the big London square where they were living, but as she wryly told Viola, her ball-going days were long past. She was badly crippled by pains in her hips and knees, and rarely left her room. "Now, no more complaining, my lady. It's so very good of Miss Matthews to let you wear her dress. Now, if I just trim a few of these loose threads from the hem and sleeves, and you wear your nice long gloves, it will do very well." Viola sighed. "I do wish Papa had sent us some money instead of two boat tickets to New York. I cannot understand why he wants us to visit him. He never has before when he has travelled abroad." Nanny Barstow sniffed, but did not reply. Her opinion of the Earl of Northcombe was not one she would repeat to his daughter. His wife, Helena, had died of pneumonia when the twins were just 4 years old. Nanny believed that any normal man would have turned all his attention and affection towards the twins, but the Earl had never seemed interested in his children at all. He had very little money of his own, and relied on the income from his late wife's investments. All the family capital was tied up to be inherited by the twins when they reached the age of 21. For the past number of years, the Earl, who had a restless nature, had plunged into one business scheme after another, always about to make his fortune, but somehow never quite managing to do so. If it had not been for the kindness and generosity of Miss Edith Matthews, Nanny had no idea what would have become of the twins. The Earl had gone out to America 2 years before, and apart from a few infrequent letters, the twins had heard nothing until the tickets had arrived, urging them to travel across the Atlantic and join him in New York as quickly as possible. "I'll thank you to just let me finish packing your steamer trunk, or else you'll never be ready to leave in the morning," Nanny scolded. "Now hurry along, Lady Viola. Your brother has been waiting for you in the drawing-room these past 20 minutes." Viola pinched her already rosy cheeks and picked up her stole. "Just think, Nanny, this time tomorrow we will be at sea." In my humble opinion, you would have done better having a quiet evening indoors, the pair of you," Viola chuckled. "Oh, Nanny, how you do fuss over us. You know that Charlotte has asked us especially to her birthday ball. There is no way we could have refused to go. She's my best friend in the whole world." Nanny's stern features softened.